Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of the Modern Workplace Hacks podcast. My name's Tom Freer, and in today's episode, I am talking with Bora, who is an IT professional, colleague of mine out of Melbourne. And today we are just shooting the wind, having a chat, talking all things IT. We talk EVs. I think we even talk soccer in this episode, women's football coming up. So, look, very general chat. Bora is a great guy. It was awesome to have him on, and I hope you get some value out of this episode. Welcome, everybody, to another episode of the Modern Workplace Hacks podcast. My name's Tom Freer, and today I am joined by Bora, who is an IT, I'm going to call him guru, out of Victoria, Melbourne. We've done a lot of work together, and we thought it'd be great to have him on the show, and he was really keen to get on, and we're just going to talk and chat and see where the day goes. Bora, hello, how are you?
Good, thank you. How are you, Tom?
Good, mate, good. What's well, let's introduce yourself to the listeners, who there must be thousands by now listening to this podcast.
Oh, absolutely.
Unlikely, but we'll see how we go. So give us, tell us a bit about
yourself. I'll spread the word, don't worry. So, like yourself, I've been working in the IT field for quite a long time. Jack of all trades, master of none, as they say. We started with doing hardware and ventured out to basically everything from IT security, network, cloud, and working together with super cool partners like yourself to grow our business, expand our knowledge, and, you know, give better options to our customers and just keep on learning and growing. That's the way it goes.
That's the fun part, isn't it, I guess, with what we
love
do.
Absolutely.
I mean, you must, you'd be like me, pull your hair out sometimes with what happens with technology and where it goes and what it does. And, you know, it's never a dull moment most of the time.
Oh, 100%. I mean, I always say the simplest things like a printer is probably the hardest things to work on. You know, a whole network's down, Microsoft's down, I fix it up, no worries, that's easy, done. And, you know, one printer problem, I'm there for a day scratching my head thinking, how is this possible?
Yep, that's it. You always think it's the simplest. It's a dark art sometimes. Did you turn it off and back on? That's always the first step.
Yeah, 100%, right? You know, using the reference from the IT crowd is one of my favorite, you know, ways of saying it. Yeah, you know, that button, you know, that the circle, no, not that button, the one above it. Just push that button, turn it off. Yep. Oh my God. You know, we work with a variety of people, and as you know, at all levels of people who know how to use a computer, who don't know how to use a computer. I mean, recently we've done a big deployment, and I'm sure you've been through this 100 times. We created a step-by-step document with a picture and highlighted what to press, gave them the information to copy and paste so they don't have to type, copy and paste. Mm. We made a video on it. I'm not sure how simpler it could get. And people just managed to say, oh, it's not working. And then you're like, okay, well, that's my job to help you. I'll get on. And then, oh, you did it different. How do you mean? Oh, you push that button. You mean like the instructional document and the video. I'm not sure how to simplify this, but all I'm going to say is patience and I have become very close friends in the last couple of years.
Yeah. Patience is the key. It's funny, like we hear our technology is getting easier and it's making our lives so much simpler and all this sort of stuff. Maybe at the front, but man, the stuff that goes on behind the scenes to keep this stuff ticking over, it's that's my full-time job, our full-time job. So that's 100%. The idea. And sometimes it does go a little unnoticed, I think. I mean, look, I always said this is a loveless job. Yeah. It's a loveless industry because people only ever want to talk to you when something's broken.
Yeah, 100%.
If we're not getting phone calls, it means everything's working. So no one wants to talk to you when it's working, but as soon as it goes wrong, we get the phone calls, we get the emails, and that's what we're here for. But it's one of those things. They're only calling when there's something busted. And it's like,
100%. And on that note, a big thank you to Microsoft for your recent Windows updates, which has kept me busy. So thank you to today's program sponsors by Microsoft.
Well, that's even, that well, I just mentioned how he said, turn it off and back on scenario. Well, a shutdown's not a shutdown anymore. So when you actually do shut down your computer, it doesn't technically shut down.
100%.
So you've got to do the restart. And sometimes it's explaining that to users. Oh, we just need to restart your computer. Yeah, but I shut it down every night. Yeah, but it's not a shutdown. Yeah, but I shut it down. So, I mean, most of our job's all about communication. So it's just trying to educate and talk to
100%.
people. The technology no one really cares about.
But no, you're spot on, man. Like it's a lot of, especially, I mean, I don't know about you, but laptops for me have become the more common setup opposing a desktop, which unless they're got a graphics card or a gamer or something, and pushing the power button genuinely just puts the machine to sleep, right?
Yeah,
Like a
that's
phone.
right. Yeah.
And it gets to the point where you're like, look, I'm going to count it down for you via Mississippi. Hold it down for 30 seconds while I count. Let go. Don't touch it for a minute and turn it back on. You ready? Yep. And so 100%, it's as simple as it sounds, when we tell them to do it, I can't expect that they know that. And so that's
No,
the
that's
way we
right.
operate as a, just don't go under the assumption. And look, if they know and they're like, listen, you're talking to me like I'm a dummy. I'm like, well, listen, I just can't assume that you know, right?
Yeah,
It's not a,
you
you know
can't
what you
assume
know.
anything. Yeah.
That's right. Most common thing I'm saying to everyone these days when they're, hey, I've got a dumb question. And I'm like, there's no such thing, man, because you know what you know and you don't know what you don't know. So I wouldn't reference it like that. If it is, don't worry, I'll tell you. But
You can't ask that question. That's silly.
that's right, 100%.
But most of our jobs really are communication. It's, I mean, the technical aspect, yeah, there's some technical complexities and things like that, and particularly when you get into the development side of things, but ultimately it's all about just talking to people. And it's one thing that, and sort of touching on, I guess, the what's coming up with AI and all that sort of thing, but I don't know if AI will, in the short term anyway, be able to replace that people-to-people interaction, because it's still going to make AI will have to make assumptions on what you're telling it, unless you're reading and underlying and all sorts of stuff, which only people can do at times.
100%. And I think I heard you say this in the past, and I wholeheartedly agree. With the technology of AI, it's the context of, we know the context of what we're searching for. And so even though I agree it's a different, I'm not comparing it to Google because Google searching is different to AI searching. It's more specific, but because I know what I'm looking for versus just asking a silly question, as the end user might say, makes a whole difference, And I've always had that saying, in the IT world, he who knows how to search wins,
Oh,
so.
that's exactly it. I mean, people might think, oh, well, I could just Google that myself. And we go, well, that's, yeah, you could. But do you know what you're looking for? Because the first result won't be necessarily be the answer, and more likely isn't the answer. So you might spend 8 hours Googling and searching to solve your problem. We might spend 15 minutes Googling and searching and solve your problem in an hour.
That's
So
it.
yeah, it's all context and all in relation to it. It's yeah. So what are you, when you're not doing IT, what are you doing?
Oh man, I'm trying to enjoy life, to be honest.
Yeah.
I like punishing myself, as it turns out, because no, I'm just kidding. I coach in football. By football, I mean soccer, the world game. I'm a head coach for my daughter's team, which is the under 13s JPL. Pre-JPL here in Victoria, and my son's assist coach with my son's under 18s community team, and I thoroughly love coaching. I think it's taught me so much about myself, about kids are actually easier to deal with than adults are, honestly. And no, really, they
Yeah, no,
really like
I think there's an
working in
element.
our
I agree
job,
with that.
right? Working in our job and all day dealing with very a variation of people. I might deal with 10 different companies in one day, so every personality is different. And then you go off on 3 4 days a week plus Sunday games. We're out there, we're doing training, we're playing the games, and dealing with the kids, you learn so much from them, because it's not like a work environment where they know certain things or they don't know certain things, and you can't get angry. You've got to say, hold on, maybe that person, when I say a certain like reset, they don't know what that means. Or when I say turn back for, if they don't know what that means, then I can't get angry at them for that. I've actually got to show them, and I've got to lead by example. So it's genuinely made a big impact on me personally, I think, as being, becoming a better person. I love to read and philosophy and, what do they call it? The self-help industry of
Oh, yeah.
I did a
Mindset and things like that.
mine 100%. I did a Bob Proctor's a big God rest his soul. Bob Proctor's a big one for me. I did worked with him on his when I say with him, with his people, on Thinking to Results. And then you got Think and Grow Rich, which he advertises a lot, and I know you've personally read and enjoy. And I'm continually growing with that level of reading books constantly. I'm reading a book at the moment, 101 Essays That Will Change the Way You Think by Breonna Wiest, which is amazing in itself. I love stoicism, and that's it. In personality, that's me offline,
That's
and
you.
yeah, that's
IT
right.
man during the day, soccer coach at night, soccer, football, depends who you're talking to, I guess. Football coach. Yeah. Nice.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I agree with you on the coaching side of things. I'm similar. I don't do football. I coach water polo, my daughter's water polo, and it's been amazing experience. Just and exactly what you said. The kids seem to, I mean, one, they enjoy what they're doing, so they're just sucking up any of the info. And but it's a lot of it, I think, is educating them on the mindset and that sort of stuff as well, as well as the skills and things like that. Because I think that's one thing that's missing in a lot of kids these days, is that resilience and things like that. And I don't know. Don't know about you, but I've been running this business for almost 15 years, and it takes a lot out of you at times, but you just keep getting up and going. And I think instilling some of that into kids these days, I think, is missing. So I don't
100%.
know. I enjoy that, and enjoy watching them develop as well. It's amazing. So as they grasp new skills and implement it, and then yeah, it's good.
No, I love it. I love it. And but I agree with you on that. The mindset's a big thing, and I think that's sometimes a bit of a lost art. And so, I take it to the level where I run sessions once a month if I can. I've started doing, I should say, where we don't do physical training. We actually go into the club rooms, and I run some kind of a session and exercises with the girls purely on their mindset, and trying to link them into the senior system by getting the senior girls to come in and talk to the leadership team, and just,
Yep.
and we're going to do a game day experience. But yeah, 100,
It's
the
amazing, yeah.
mind is as absolutely, if not more important for them to be switched on and have that mindset than the game. Because as you said, there are days where they play and you're like, who is this team?
Yeah.
And you're like, this
On
is
both
not the
sides of
team.
the equation.
Yeah. Yeah, bad. Absolutely. And and so yeah, I agree. I think the mindset, I mean, in all aspects, whether it be for the kids, whether it be for us, and it's something that I'm gonna try to implement into the workplace more than ever, because I think just like coaching the kids, coaching your team, and having the right mindset is going to make all the difference in a business and in a company.
Oh, it does. And again, I agree with that. It's something that I know where I'm trying to do here in with the team, and we've actually got a wellness and success coach that comes in every week, works with the team on their individual mindset and goal setting, not just for the company, but for them personally, because that's, I mean, the reality is people spend a fair chunk of their time at work. In that, so one, they've got to enjoy what they're doing, and two, it's good, I think, to be able to give them something to take away more than just the work as well. So I don't know. Look, I think it's still early days with what we're doing here, but the team seem to be getting really involved in it and setting some good
personal goals, which then flows into business goals and what they want to achieve. And yeah, that sort of stuff works well. And I know it works for me. It's see a performance coach and things like that to get my head right, because it's some days it's like, I think I'm just going to stay crawled up in bed here and it's nice and warm and I'm not going to deal with anything. But you don't get that luxury. You don't get that luxury when you're running your business. So, yeah.
That's right. 17 phone calls and missed SMSs by 9 a.m. later.
Oh, yeah, it's crazy. And I don't know if it gets any easier when you've got a team. So I've got a fair-sized team, but I think I still get the same number of calls, just different level of issue now, I guess. So,
yeah, that's right. Yeah. It's like the kids, as they get older, their problems get bigger.
That's true.
But the other thing that's new, which I thought you'd love to hear, is I've joined the EV revolution.
EV revolution, righto.
Yeah. So we've gone with the BYD, which is the Build Your Dreams.
I've seen them floating around everywhere recently.
Oh, they're doing well. They're doing, and before anyone asks, no, it's not a flat pack that you order bits and pieces and put together.
Just say, does it come like in an IKEA box? And
that's right.
Yeah,
yeah. It's terrible instructions in the. no, it's actually with the government grant granted, you know, for under $50,000. All right, you're getting about 400, and I think we're averaging about 430 kilometers. And last month I calculated, based on our at home, I got the two-phase charge, and I think it's only cost like $145 to run the car. I mean,
yeah, right, you probably spend that a week in fuel.
Oh, 100%. I mean, with my work colleagues, like one of them in particular, you know, who's all the time on site flying left, right and center, he was spending about 200 or more, or some weeks 300 on fuel. And it's like, we actually calculated it's going to pay itself off in like 4.5-5 years. So the car starts paying us back, which is, you know, but look, feature wise, it's like for what you're paying value. And you think, like I've always stuck with the European cars. I've had the last few cars I've had has been the Skoda, which is basically a, you know, Czech company of rebadged Volkswagen in effect. Amazing cars, best value for money on the market, great with the fuel. But you know, even that one, the current model, the base model, is starting off at 42,000, and you're looking, well, all I'm paying is another 7 or 8, let's say I bought it at retail, 51,000, 52,000, whatever it is on the road. Like it's a small SUV. It's got plenty of boot room for, you know, all my stuff, plus the soccer balls, plus everything else. It's got that, you know, that nice leather look. It's not a leather. I forget what the material is called, but you know, it's got it's built in little assistant that you push the button and ask, and it pretty much operates all the functions of the car. It doesn't have the autopilot, which the Teslas come with, but you know what? It's got smart.
I'm not sure I trust the autopilot myself.
Yeah,
bit of a control freak in the car, so
I haven't. Just it's annoying me the way it's got this lane assist system where.
Oh yeah.
Now I don't mind lane assist on the Skoda. I got used to it because it was a light little nudge. This thing here kind of does this triple nudge.
Drags you
and
back
I'm
in.
Like, it's like it's grabbing you by the head and pulling you back in. And
it forces you to use the indicator though, because I'm notorious for changing lanes without indicating. And then if I do it with the lane assist on, it drags you back in.
Yeah, that's right. It's a secret little thing in a vehicle, Tom, called the indicator that, especially for you Queenslanders.
we don't know what they are. It's an optional extra up here, I think.
It triple nudges you, and sometimes I'm convinced the sensor's a bit off because I'm like, my mirror is maybe on the line by 1 mil. It must have some kind of technology, like in the sports environment, where it's like, is the ball fully over the line or something? And it's just like one time it literally fully moved the steering wheel to the point where I couldn't stop it, and I'm like, okay, either you saved me or you're going to kill me.
You're going to drag me back into the wall.
But what I love is, you know, they it does an over the air update, and the car's got new features, or it's stabilized a certain feature, or like in the case of Tesla, which I have to admit I'm insanely jealous on, you know, the car's now 1.5 seconds quicker. Like,
yeah, because they've tuned it remotely. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, wow. It's crazy. So,
where are these ones? Where are these ones from? The BYDs?
So it's basically a Chinese manufacturer. But my understanding, and I'm sure someone will correct me, is that the company itself, the battery technology is what they actually specialize in. They have been doing the taxis with this type of drivetrain for like 8 to 10 years, and their batteries are at the point where they're doing hundreds of thousands of Ks before they actually need replacing, which is amazing in itself. And Tesla just signed their Chinese built cars from the start of this year to be using their battery technology. They use this technology called blade technology, so it's supposed to be more efficient and less issues of heating and various other and charging. So they're flying in. Like, they've got we went from that issue, as you know, Australia wide, of struggling to get cars in, to I've now seen three areas across Australia where they're bringing them into and then basically distributing them out off to their dealers. And they've got like thousands and thousands of these things sitting there and just rolling out the door. Like, they can't, and you know, the sales are going through the roof. So, you know, they're doing something right. Like I said, where do you get a car for that value? 50,000, 55,000. And that's the thing. Like, you gotta look at it and say, do I spend an extra 13,000 or whatever it is, or 10,000 on a Tesla, what am I getting for that? And that doesn't even include the autopilot at this point, unless they've got some deal going on where they're throwing it in. And, you know, it's got, in some ways, it's got some more features. And you know, and from a work perspective, as you know, when you own a company, how many times a day is someone going to drive 400 Ks for the day?
No, that's right. Yeah, exactly.
So,
when you're around town, it's fine, I think, isn't it? What's the charging requirement? Do you have to get, like, I've not really looked into the EVs, but do you have to get like special chargers installed at home and things like that?
Look, you don't have to. They do actually have an adapter which plugs it in, like converts it from the charge point to a 240, but then, you know, it might take all day to charge. So I've got most people commonly buy a device which is two phase or three phase, depending on what you've got in your house or you get installed. And the obviously, if it's three phase, it has the direct, it's, I think they call it type two, I'll have to check that, but it's a universal one which most cars use. Some cars have the supercharger feature as well, which means it's even quicker. But on a two phase, if I'm completely empty, it claims to take up to 6 hours to fully charge, but I'm never
not too bad, I guess. You wouldn't be fully empty often.
No, that and I think there was a. I mean, look, I did a Kramer job and a Seinfeld job, and when I first got off, I thought I'm going to test this, and I got down to 30 k's, and at that point I was actually sweating. I'm like, okay, I'm 10 k's from home, and because my understanding is it's still got a 12 volt. Battery in there for the internal system.
Yeah.
But my understanding is it needs that to be active for the car to actually like work properly. Yep. So, you know, thank God I didn't get to that stage, but you know, I felt like that episode, Seinfeld, where they had the Porsche and they just kept pushing it up. They just kept pushing it to see how far they can get. And, as you said, I mean, sometimes I don't charge for 3-4 days and I've still got 150 Ks and, you know, and I've programmed it so it charges off peak, so after midnight in effect. But, you know, most days I'm not out before 6 a.m. So
yeah.
Not a problem.
Yep. Not a problem. Yeah, right. Okay. Cool. EVs. Yeah, no, I'm not convinced yet. I'm sure it is. Yeah. I'm sure they're all right. I just like my ute. I haven't found a good electronic ute yet, so.
Yeah, they're coming. They're coming. But as you said, look, it's like anything, mate. First generation, right? Generation of anything is going to be good, but that's where we're going to find the issues. But you know, my understanding, because you know, Google listens and I'm getting the feeds on my Google feed constantly when I say something.
Oh, sure now I'm going to have BYD ads popping up on my Facebook and all sorts of stuff, I'm sure. So
100%. it's for what it is, it's selling. It's getting to that point where they're catching up with petrol cars in sales. So, you know, I suspect by, you know, the way things are going, 2025, it's probably going to be more common than not, out on the road, and there's more brands coming. So it's just the more choice, new, you know, Tesla's obviously at a certain point now where they're much, much better. But it's a software game, right? At the end of the day, that's the big thing. And that's where Tesla's got the market for sure, is that their software is by far the best in the market. There's, you know, if they sold their software and stopped building vehicles, that would still be way ahead.
And is that from a functionality or a usability or all of the above? Like, it's
all
again,
of the above,
I'm not,
I think.
Okay.
All of the above, because, you know, one little bug that I've discovered is, with the latest, a couple of updates ago, they finally enabled Android Auto, and they. And what is it, the Apple Play, CarPlay? But what happens is when, as soon as, because it uses the wireless version of it, you don't have to physically plug it in, which is awesome in itself. But what happens is within 10 seconds of the car starting and the screen's obviously active straight away, it forces it to go straight into Android Auto.
Right.
So if I'm there trying to, you know, change the temperature or
start the car,
put
the settings in, yeah.
Put the settings in. It's like I'm about to push, turn my seat while we're on, and then bang, Android Auto's on, and I'm like, oh yeah, hold on, but I can actually push the assist button and tell her to turn it on. That's sweet. You know, so it's getting used to it and getting the features going.
So back to a bit of biz, what are you seeing from a business perspective, and where are your clients looking to use a bit more technology or leverage it a bit more?
There's a bit of a mixture happening. I don't feel, as you said, I don't feel AI's there yet with a lot of companies that we deal with on the day-to-day basis. I'm seeing a lot more usage in, say, you know, Microsoft Power Apps, where companies are starting to go that, or like Monday.coms and Trello's. I'm starting to see the trust in the cloud technology for day-to-day operations for even a one-man electrician, not just the, you know, the corporate environment. I'm seeing that coming into play. The economy is in a very interesting situation. I'm not a specialist, so I'm not going to comment on it, but, you know,
we comment on it all the time, and we don't even know what we're talking about when it comes to the economy, but
it's slowing down in the sense that I feel like companies are, the hiring component stopped. People are starting to actually let go of staff here and there. But, I mean, look, again, it's a mixture. Some companies are still looking for people. But the battle I'm seeing is it's gone back to that people aren't giving the first-timers a go as much. Like, they just want someone who knows what they're doing to come in and go with it. They don't want to go through the effort of training someone up.
That's interesting, yeah.
You know,
and I agree with that. Do you think that's a flow-on effect from productivity within the economy at the moment? Because my feeling is that we've gone through a stage where, and this is very, again, I'm no specialist, but I'll make broad comments. But my feel is that we've gone through a stage where there's been obviously reduced productivity across the board. From an output perspective, so we've employed more people to do the same work because of the productivity being so low, and I know that is a challenge that I'm seeing with my business as well, is that productivity isn't where it's at, where it used to be, and I seem to have extra people doing the same output. So obviously that's been putting strain. So it's looking at how, I know what I'm looking at is how do we utilize, well, get our team to be more productive, be able to do more, obviously without having to get more people in and use that technology a little bit more effective. But I think that's
agreed.
That's where I think there's that shift happening, is that And again, I look at me and I go, yeah, there's a shift in sort of, no, we need to fix the productivity issue, not just bring more people in to get the same result. So how do we 100%. Fix that productivity issue? Well, maybe it is a process or a technology, or maybe it's a people problem as well.
Yeah, it's definitely definitely interesting. I mean, the other big thing I'm seeing, and you and I both know a lot, deal with a lot, I should say, is the cybersecurity. It's becoming a flavor of the month thing. A couple of months ago, it was the insurance companies. Then before that was the telcos at the head level, and for the first time, I saw people actually get concerned in Australia when the Optus hack and the MLC hack happened. Like, people were like, they felt vulnerable, like, because as
well,
you know,
they were. Millions of people were affected. So 100%. Yeah.
For the first time, people's, like, in Australia, I say this all the time when I'm dealing with companies. It's like, we have a very, she'll be right. Well, what are they going to do? Take my dog's picture or something, you know, or a picture of my wife or whatever. And it's like, mate, you wish, like, you literally wish that was the minimal, like, that's all they did.
That's all they were going to do, yeah.
That's all they were going to, because this is big business. Like, these guys have genuinely got enterprise level environment set up. And now the last thing we checked, and a colleague of mine has put this data together, and she's pretty good at this stuff, but apparently cyber hacking is now the third biggest economy behind China and the US in the world.
Yeah, it's insane. And
these guys are on the dark web, obviously, you know, generally where they hire from, but they've found ways now to sneak that into the actual seek.com level environment, where they're hiring people legitimately on these. They're obviously wording it in certain ways, but because they know that if someone calls, and, you know, someone like you and I answer, and we're talking the way we do, and the knowledge we have, that it's more trustworthy. And so it's more believable. And, you know, talk about technology. Like, these guys are the best at using the technology. Like, as you know, you've got the three tiers of general hacking, where most people get hacked on, which is the phishing, the smishing, which is SMS, and then the vishing, which is the voice. And
voice. Yep.
That's the scary part. Like, the voice is at the point where, look, I think if you really listen, you and I might be able to spot it. Because there's still a tone there, and they don't get, the AI doesn't get sarcasm, but yet. But in saying that, I can't wait. The dad
but they, but get, what they do is they put a lot of background noise in some of these as well. So it sounds like you're standing on the street.
Literally.
So you can still hear the tone of the AI voice, who's pretending to be me, but it's your hearing is somewhat distracted by the sound of the cars going behind. So you're not focused on their voice.
And it's
crazy. Yeah. And some of the stuff is, I mean, and that's the scary thing, I think, around the AI, and particularly in what these criminals are doing, is when you're getting those spam phone calls and that. The reality is they're now recording your voice to identify information and be able to build, because all of this is about building a profile. Phishing is all about building profile. The SMSing, the phone calls, it literally goes into a database on the dark web, for lack of a better term, where you're profiled. Hey, I've got Tom's email address. I've got his mobile number. I know his first name, last name. I know who reports to him. I know who he works for. Because all this stuff's public.
100%.
And then when you have the actual breaches, like an Optus or a Medibank or whatever it was, now they're bringing in, well, here's Tom. Hey, I've just got his license from the Optus breach. Right, now I've got quite a strong profile to sell that for someone who can do identity fraud and 100%. Or whatever. So it's when you actually start to piece it all together, which I think – most people don't, and it's not something you think about anyway, but that's what I think about, because that's the business and work we're in.
Oh, 100%.
But it's it is frightening the amount of what they will have on you in that environment and what they potentially can do. And
it's crazy. And you know, last we checked, apparently it's about $18 or $20 to buy an Australian passport. And
oh, is that all?
On the black market. You know, the Australian passport is obviously one that's got good credit globally. Mm. So for me, the biggest concern I've had is recently where the flavor of the month is law firms globally at the moment, but for Australia,
getting targeted.
Yeah, the Ebsworth, that was, for me, that's like, that's got to be scary because these guys, every top tier government and enterprise, including the four big banks, their information, their top secrets, their court cases, everything. And as you said, once they, whoever is buying all this or can buy all this data, they've got that information to now blackmail you with. They've got your profile from your Medibank. They've got your telephony information. They've gone in and got your online profile. And, you know, at that level, that's, you know, you should generally be, you know, generally be concerned. But I guess it's hard for an end user. Like, what do you tell them to do? Like, change your password. Then what?
Well, and this is it. It's I think it's part of. I don't think there's no answer, and because as humans we share, and that's mm-hmm. just what we do, and mm-hmm. the likes of Facebook and Instagram and whatever it is, so that's never going to stop. So I think it's the awareness side of things. I mean, you got to change your password. Yep, you've got to put MFA in. Yep, you've got to make sure you know what email you're looking at and what you're replying to, and check that link before you click. Like, we know all this stuff, but I think what happens is that because traditionally you get sat down once a year from your employer and go, don't click on the phishing link. Look at this. Look at that. That is traditional training. From a cyber perspective, but that's that one point in time doesn't work. What we have to be thinking about, even as individuals and in our personal lives, is it's just constant level of awareness. It's just being aware mm-hmm. of what you're doing and where you're doing it. So sounds a bit sus, but what you're doing is receiving that email. Did I really order that thing from Amazon? Well, no, yeah. I don't think I did. Okay, well, let me think about that versus, hey, there's an order from Amazon. I'll click on that link and see what it is.
Oh, it's crazy. I mean, we heard one recently where, and I'm sure this one's actually been doing the rounds in a lot of our channels that we follow, where a lady got a call from her accountant saying, congratulations.
You bought a house, you sold it,
you made a good profit, but hey, you got to pay the ATO. The capital gains tax, and she's like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
And now in that case, I guess you can break it down and the real estate agent can say, no, that wasn't the person or whatever. But could you imagine the ATO coming up to you saying, you owe us this much money? Like, no, I don't. What are you talking about? Like, congratulations, you bought this house. Like, these hackers aren't even harming you in a direct way. And I think that's always been the case. I think the biggest thing where people why people didn't take it as serious is because if I physically come up to you and put a knife in your face or point a gun to your head, that's a real threat that you see, that you perceive, and you say, shit, I could die, right? And you, like, here, man, take my wallet, whatever, I don't care. It's not worth that much to me in that sense. But the hackers don't do that. They could be, as you know, in some corporate cases, recent big one, they were in their system for who knows how long.
I mean, well, the average is 150 or 160 days or something.
But, mate, 4 terabytes of data. Come on. How do you not notice 4 terabytes of data being moved out of your...
But that's the thing. But people don't, because they're not monitoring. They're not looking at it. And this is it. I mean, there's obviously the thing is, every time you turn around, it's now – I've got to spend the money on this to be able to monitor and see and control. And there's a limit. And I think this is what happens is that there's a level of fatigue that hits an organization where they go, mate, I just, can't spend anymore. I don't want to do anymore. I'm just constantly talking about implementing new technology. And it's at that point not that they know that, not that the attackers know that that's happening. It's just the trend, because you can't keep replacing your technology and your security all the time. And that's what the attackers somewhat rely on, because they know that, hey, I can get through that particular malware system now using this way, but I know people aren't going to replace it within a period. So, and it's like, well, how often do you go to your client and go, actually, we need to roll out a different vendor or a different antivirus software now? You don't.
I don't want to.
Well, and that's it.
It's good for business. I get it. I love doing it. But as you said, when you look at the books and you're like, I've got X amount of hundreds of environments I've got to get through, you sit there going, oh, my God, do I? You're like,
and you can't. And it's, I mean, as much as our role as IT partners is to, we can only advise in that sense, and we can do what we can do. Like, the reality is there's no single way to reduce that threat. It's you've got to keep thinking about different technologies and different ways of doing it. I mean, we look at spam and phishing. Doesn't matter what tool you've got in place, there will be a way to circumvent it. And that's what the attackers do. That's their job, is to work out how to circumvent these things. Oh, you're with Microsoft. If I send an email in this particular format, it will more likely get through. You're with whatever, whoever it is, Mimecast. If it's in this format, it could get through until they work out and they re-engineer, but then they just keep switching them around. So, like I learned some stuff. I did a webinar, a podcast with Egress a couple of months ago now. They're a spam and phishing technology, AI sort of based thing. And we went through, and some of the examples they gave of how the emails were crafted and sent through and things like that was amazing. And just things you don't think about, like they put small white font in the back of emails. It's gibberish, so it will never get picked up.
Yep.
And just little things like this. So, change the font, change the letters. Great.
I think it's, that AI, it's AI is becoming at the moment a bit like the app revolution on phones, you know, like every week I'm seeing, I follow a couple of channels and it's like, there's a new AI for this, and there's an AI for this now, and there's a AI for that now. It's,
it's coming. Yeah. Like it's there. I think the technology is really exciting. It's finding the application, like the way to apply it within your business. That's the trick. 100%. But leverage the tools, like we use ChatGPT all the time for different things, but it's now, how do we take that AI engine and put it across our data sets to make our team more effective? That's the key.
So speaking of, though, I tell you, let's talk about engines. I won't say I'm good. I'm starting to Bing more than I'm
Googling. Oh, I am since, too.
And Bing chat. And for me, it's like one thing I freely admit, I hate spam in the sense of advertising and sponsored. And I don't know whether it's a habit has picked up from me or it's just the way Bing's done it now. Like I'm searching something, and not only is it actually finding relevant information, but the first few options are not sponsored ads anymore, I'm really enjoying. And look, Bing Chat's getting there. Will Microsoft, is it going to be like the movies in 50 years' time? If the world is going to be owned by Microsoft and one half and by the other half. We all live in one side of the sphere or the other side.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, they've invested, pretty much own a majority shareholding, in OpenAI. But, you know, now that we know that there's a lot more technology coming out there, it's helped, like it does help the end users in the sense that, you know, can you co-pilot? I haven't played with it much yet at
not
all,
quite
to be honest.
Yeah, but wait till it's going to be amazing.
Well, that's it. You know, just to be, you know, even for us to be able to simplify things and help the user, because, you know, I'm not one to not want to show something to someone or an end user. Like I want them to know the one-on-ones because I don't need that phone call, you know, my desktop icon's gone missing. Really? You know, it's like, okay, let's just do this. And look, don't get me wrong, it's all business at the end of the day. But I think that's my give and take. If I can teach them the basics, they feel good about that. They've solved something. They feel happy. They're like, yeah, I saved time and calling this guy, and they actually genuinely get excited and call you anyway. So it's funny.
Yeah. Well, there you go. That's good. That's good. Well, Bora, it's been a awesome chat, and I'm pretty sure we're going to do this again because I think it's good just to, what did I say? Shoot the breeze or something. I don't know what it, whatever it was. Shoot the shit.
Yeah, exactly. Shit talker
session. Yeah, that's right. But no, it's been a pleasure having you on, and I think we've covered a lot today. And mate, I think we'll certainly chat again in the future.
Absolutely loved it. Thank you so much, mate. This has been a good chat for me too, and I look forward to our next catch up.
Excellent. Thanks, mate.
Thank you.